Let's pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for, well, for the lovely weather, Lord, and for everyone that's out, Pat and Steve, for Will, for Lynn, for Norman, for Monica and myself. Lord, for all those that have been and gone, I pray your hand upon them, Lord, that you would draw those back that have fallen away, and Lord, that you would restore the confidence. I thank you, Lord, indeed, for the break in the weather yesterday, as we did the leafleting up by the trench road. And I pray you please, Father, for those hundreds of houses that were tracked, that you would, Lord, you would use that to contend with souls for their time. I pray you too for Frank as he prepares to come home for surgery. I think it's on Friday, Lord, that you would just prepare the way in the surgeon's hands and everything, Lord, just to get him sorted. For all those that are not well, we're glad to have Steve back and Pat as well. Pray for Christine and Mary Ann, for the folks on the road, for Lord, for our family, for our friends. Lord, we just pray for your will to be done. Pray, Lord, for Israel that you would preserve, for our leaders, that you would just convict them greatly and constrain them, Lord, keep them from evil doing, Lord, openly oppose those that are set on evil. I pray you, Lord, please, that you will bless and preserve those that are set on doing your will. I pray, covet your presence this morning, and indeed wherever two or three are gathered together, Lord, please accompany those that are gathering to worship and praise you. Please open our understanding. Please be one of our number. And this on top of our private prayer request, Lord, we leave at your feet and pray that you would grant according to your will. Please lead us and guide us, Father. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's begin with number two. Number two in the black book is Bradfield, if you're able. Turn in there. And we'll sing this blessed old book. Number two in the wee black book.
Truth from beginning to end.
first of our hymns. Our second is out of the big books, if you'd like to take and turn there. Hymn number 319. If you'd like to be taken and turning there, 319. We'll stand if you're able as we sing Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Those songs like Stand Up for Jesus, you can't really sing them sitting down and walking and stuff like that.
I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. One of every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and give gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and be a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that he henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie with to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him on all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as all Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the light of God through the ignorance of this in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lustfulness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, and ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, pulling away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, but sin not, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. But him that stole, stealing no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. But be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Some good verses there. Appreciate that. Was that a joint effort there? Two heads are better than one. There you go. Just want to remind everybody to make sure they get one of the wee white prayer lists. There is a bunch of stuff on there. Please do.
Green.
Oh, green, is it?
I can see your white thing in there.
Enough about the sermons, but not the prayer lists. I have one from January the 5th. Two from January. That must be had some space, but they never got them.
At least you knew I had them for you.
Green prayer list. Make sure you get the green prayer list.
Which one?
It's in honour of spring and all the wee buds coming back onto the trees, so make sure that you get one of those. We're hoping it's in honour of all the buds coming back up onto the trees. We see our raspberry bushes starting to throw buds out, so here's hoping more raspberry jam this year. So glad to have Pat and Steve back. It's a blessing. Do continue to pray for Steve and his recovery. We'd appreciate your prayers for Monica's mother and father as well. Her dad's coming round. Her Mom still has a way to go. Do pray for Frank. He's got, is it Friday coming that he's in the hospital?
Thursday,
if
he is, would be in the hospital, and Saturday,
you don't pray. Yeah. That's to make sure he behaves himself on Thursday night and Friday. So pray for Frank as well there. And of course, for Mum and Dad. Whenever someone in the family is feeling something, the whole family feels it. So please do pray for each other. We pray for Christine and Mary Ann as honorary members of the church. Please do pray for Mary Ann and her health at this time too, Christine as well. And for Will, who has to look after both of them. He's got his work cut out for him.
He told me what.
Anyway. There was the Dixon family, I think, that was to be prayed for as well. So please remember them. They had a loss in the family. And we appreciate your prayers too for Monica's dad's family. His brother passed away there a few days back. So please do pray for Donald Payne. And his family, of course, his wife and children and grandchildren that are left behind. I think that's about that. Everything else should be there. For private prayer requests, anybody have any? One, everybody. Do pray for Colin. I receive word, I hear from him from time to time. He is still intent on joining the International Brigade in Ukraine. He has 5 weeks, he said. Now, this is what he has told me. He has 5 weeks of training, seemingly. And then he will be able to go and defend the honour of one communist dictator against another communist dictator. So please do pray for Colin. My personal opinion, it's a money grab and a land grab, and it's not the governments that are paying for it, it's the likes of you and me. It is our taxes that is paying for this war and making these 3 or 4 people and all of their subordinates very, very rich. But it's due public that always pays. Pays in blood, pays in sweat and tears. Please do pray for the men and the women that are fighting each other. And please do pray for the leaders that are stirring the pot right now. I came across a very... Yes, Steve?
I think we should pray for the innocents.
That's what I'm saying, due public.
They're always innocent, but caught up in their children.
Joe Public always pays. The government makes these grand plans. Joe Public always pays. Never Neal used to be a bit of a naughty boy in his day. And he told me, and I could quite believe it, and it's the same all over, wars are started by men, old men, sitting around fires and armchairs, and they're fought and carried on by young men being sent out by them. It is the young people, it is Joe Public that always pays. Came across an interesting little comment on Facebook, I think it was. You can take a jam jar and put 100 red ants into it and 100 black ants into it, a big jar, and they will not bother each other. But as soon as you take the jar and shake the jar, they will go mad and they will attack and kill each other. But I would like to cut the hand off that's shaking that jar and just get it sorted out, because that's what's going on here. The Lord's coming back. All the things that's going on can be found in Matthew 24, or wars and rumors of wars. And things are happening just like the Bible said it would. And there's quite literally nothing left to happen before the Lord comes back in the air for his children. So we are in a period now where the Lord could be back any time. So if there is anything that you as a Christian want to do or feel that you need to do, now would be the time to do it. One last thing, and then we'll have a wee word of prayer. We had a great opportunity to be out yesterday up by Ashcroft, across the valley from Pat and Steve. Got a cracker picture of, not of their house, but of the two cars that are parked outside their house, because their house is in the middle of a row of houses. And we we got the Gable Inn. But amazing scenery, lovely new houses. I think there were a few hundred houses, 300-400 houses. And it was bucketing when we went out, or at least when I went out, and I was praying, Lord, I really didn't feel like walking around in the rain today. And the rain tailed off. I think we had, what, 5 or 10 minutes of a little bit of rain, and that was about the height of it. God was good. We had good opportunities to be out. My good wife was telling me that the weather's supposed to be good today and tomorrow, with a very, very low percent chance of rain. So all I'm looking for is half an hour, three quarters of an hour this afternoon. And then it can do whatever it likes. But that's what I'm hoping for too. And we appreciate your prayers there as well. So anyway, I'll have a wee word of prayer. Well, if you're good, would you lead us as you would, please?
Just off of this day, Lord, thank you for your day of rest, Lord. Be there in the rest on a day to honor the great holy name to worship, leading, Lord, to reflect back on the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, Lord, and that our root financial relatives and acquaintances may come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation as well, Lord. The reason that every head is covered and every house is represented, Lord, bless us, Lord, and may our service and may our worship and may our singing and everything that we do in this church be acceptable and honorable in the sight and please, Lord. Brother Fox and Brown, Lord, Brother Franklin has come over for the operation, Lord. Prayer for, Lord, to find the people who are suffering from it and everyone has the operation, Lord. And Lord, also keep them safe and well, give them mercy as well, Lord. We also are calling, Lord, to keep them safe and well, Lord, those who are in trouble, Lord, and give them your protecting hand upon them as well, Lord. We also save Stephen Collins, Lord, and also save Alex, Megan, Courtney, and Mason, Lord, and also fully Megan, we have met this week as well, before they came, Lord, and bring back to church as well, Lord. We have Pat and Steve, Lord, we have Steve, Lord, give them strength, Lord, and help them, Lord, recover, Lord, and mightily give them strength, Lord, as well, Lord, and the Israel, Lord. Give us this day, Lord, and your partners come to deliver the battle. Prepare it in our hearts for the Spirit, Lord, and may we receptive to thee, Lord, and guide us in the sermon, Lord, what you want to do in our lives, Lord, and for to reveal your love and kindness and your wisdom to us, Lord, through the word, Lord. Give us this day, Lord, and give us the gifts for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Right, let's take those black books again and we'll sing another song or two out of them. Amen. Pin number one. Let's see if you're going too far. Pin number one. Amen. Save it for how great they are. Two black books. Number one.
Thank you.
State of religion back in the days of children of Israel before the Lord judged them for the rebellion and abandonment of his teachings. But also, I think you may see a fair few parallels with much of the organized religion that is going on in the world today. Please also, one of the things that we never prayed about was the school shooting that took place in the Christian school in Nashville. There was someone that claimed to be a transgender woman that went in with weapons and killed three children and three teachers in Nashville. But not only that, if you want a real view of the world, most of the left-leaning, socialist, whatever, evil people are out there sympathizing with the transgender people and not the family of the people that lost their lives. Whether big people or little people, they were loved by somebody. Their mums and dads, wives, husbands, aunts, uncles, and they need our prayers right now. Because there's, in a case like that, the only person who can really comfort you and help you is the Lord God Almighty. And pray that many of these people, including the bastion of conservatism and uprightness, Madonna, is out. She's going to extend her LGBT alphabet soup plus tour to Nashville in sympathy with transgenders. And there's going to, I wouldn't be surprised if it's the last leg of the tour, of any tour that she ever does. Nashville is not, I don't think it's an overly liberal place. So please do pray for the people that lost loved ones in that school shooting. There are a lot of shootings going on in America right now. And I think a lot of it is designed to cause a knee-jerk reaction and make people make bad decisions in the heat of a moment. Please do pray for goodness, not only the leaders of countries, but the people in the countries as well. Amen. Ezekiel 34, beginning at verse number 1, there's 31 verses. We're going to read them all. The first 6 or 7 are our text this morning, but if I read the rest, I'll not have to go back over them again during the service. Amen. Makes it easier for me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe ye with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, and neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, and neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty ye have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains, and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. And there shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and will bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, I will feed them with judgment. As for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad, therefore will I save my flock. They shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David the prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season, and there shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, and neither shall the beast of the land devour them. But they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I am the Lord their God, that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Amen indeed. Amen indeed. Let's have another quick word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this little bit of time that we've set aside. Pray your good hand upon us, that you would open our understanding, that you would give me the right words to speak, and help us all this morning, Lord, as we take this time in your word. We really do need you, Lord, and so do our brothers and sisters across the world. I pray that you would supply our daily needs. We love you and thank you. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 It seems like a pretty serious indictment of the teaching and preaching of the day. And I know a lot of this is directly concerned with prophecy about Israel. In other words, what is going to happen to Israel in the years to come. But there is a very real application to us today, because regardless of whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, we're still people, we are still sinners, we still need a great Savior. And that great Savior is Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll come back to the first six verses in a moment or two, but the first six verses, they list the crimes of the priests, the ministers of the day, the pastors. I think pastor is actually another translation of the word shepherd there as well. But as we go on, we see just exactly what the Lord thinks of men, of church leaders that treat the people that they've been entrusted with like that. Basically, he says that I will be against you. Verse number 10, I am against the shepherds and will require my flock at their hand. In other words, all that you have done to the flock for your own aggrandizement, I am going to take it out of your hide. I don't know if you've ever heard that saying before, but it normally involves a warm backside. Instead of it being a calling, it became a career. It became a means whereby people could get power. There was no desire for the betterment of people, just the betterment of themselves. Instead of a life of service to the King of Kings, it was a life of service to their bank accounts and to their landholdings. Not only in the first six verses does the Lord's list, we'll call it the crimes, and we'll look at them in just a minute. In verse 16, he says, I will seek that which was lost and heal and bind up and help. And that's something that we would do well to remember even today. And I remember many years ago getting a big shock. For whenever I started in Bethel Baptist Church, the church was reaching out over in Craigan and Shantalo and Bogside, in the mostly Republican and Roman Catholic areas in the town. And the number of times that people said at the door, whenever challenged, how will you get to heaven? I am trusting in my priest. That was hundreds and thousands of times. That is the lie that so many souls have been told in this day and age. I am trusting in my priest. And I walked around with a heavy heart for many of the people that we spoke to. And whenever we got to the water side down in Spencer Road, I thought, at last we're back to the land of Christianity and civilization. And, yeah. One of the first doors that we knocked on was a little old lady who went to the Church of Ireland, and when challenged about how she would get to heaven, what did she say? I am trusting in my minister. And I thought, that can't be right. And there was a very dear lady, a very nice lady that worked in Desmond's, well-read, well-connected, who ended up going into hospital for some exploratory surgery and found out that she was actually dying of cancer. And I found this out and I went up to the city hospital to visit with her and I said, Hilda, do you want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to hear about being saved? This woman on the very edge of eternity said, no, Mark, my minister's coming now. He'll help me. That is not the message. Even back in the Old Testament, it is not a man that will help you. It is God. God has given everyone the promise, I will do these things for you. Yes, I am here, and I direct your attention to this part of the Bible on Sunday morning, and another part on Sunday evening, another bit on Wednesday. And if I'm ever in a position to help you by reminding you of a piece of scripture, I will do that, and I will do it in love, because I want you to do better. I want you to be better. God says, you ever come across a minister that doesn't want the best for his congregation? Get out. He lists the consequences, and he says, he will be the great shepherd. And even in the New Testament, the Lord said, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. In other words, he was talking about us, the Gentiles. But he's also talking about the way some Christians or some believers behave. he says, talks about judging between cattle and cattle. Maybe the strong Christian not treating the weaker Christian properly. Treading down the pasture that they have already eaten from so that another one cannot get the benefit, the same with the water. We're supposed to treat each other right, in it. What is the sign that you're saved? Does anybody know? You'll know you've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. Because you're saved. My goodness. I know there's a lot there. And we've read it and we've scooted over it. We're not spending all the time on vengeance, because vengeance belongeth unto the Lord. We're supposed to let God deal with vengeance. I know sometimes it's difficult. We're supposed to let the Lord do that and just stand back and let the Lord do as he will. But, friends, we need to be aware that regardless of what the world, the flesh, and the devil tells you, internet, Facebook, or whatever, there are consequences for bad behavior and even for mistakes. Don't be tardy when it comes to repenting of your error, even if you were one of those people. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. This could be for someone you know or someone that's listening on the internet. If you have found yourself being a proud or a boastful Christian, bear in mind that your life is not your own anymore, and it is your job to help the brethren too. Yes, you have things in front of you, but if you ever can, help the brethren. Treat folks right. Anyway, we're going back to the first six verses. And I know a lot of times whenever the minister stands at the front of the church, it seems like he's got a big stick out, and he takes maybe far too much delight in preaching about and quotes other people's sins, setting himself up as a paragon of everything that's just and right and perfect, and there's hardly ever a wee light shone on him. Well, today, this is a light shone upon those that pretended to be church leaders. And it's a shocking list of complaints, the way these ministers were treating the people that God said to look after. Said, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And that's shocking. In other words, it was me first. It's all about me. It's all about how much money I can get out of the church. It's all about how I can use you to climb higher and higher, to be greater and greater. That's what the Lord said about the ministers. I better stop saying I, because I don't feel that way. We'll call it the ministers. Woe unto the church leader that uses the church to his advantage instead of using the church to help the people in the church and, of course, the lost souls outside of it. It goes on to say, ye eat the fat and ye clothe ye with the wool. Has anybody ever heard the story about the chicken and the pig having a discussion in the farmyard about how great it is to provide the farmer with his breakfast? And the chicken was going on about how wonderful it was for her to give an egg every day so the farmer can have his eggs and bacon. And the pig said, well, Miss Chicken, for you it's an offering to provide the farmer his breakfast, but for me it's a sacrifice, said the three-legged pig. That is not the way a leader should be treating his people. It's not about if the person in the church has something, that the leader of the church should not be going on and on and on about it until he gets it off them. It's not about getting their money. It's not about getting their inheritance. It's not about getting anything else. It's about getting them closer to God. It's about getting them on the straight and narrow road. And God says, be careful. This is something we need to remember, and it's something a lot of people don't actually realize. You should never be afraid of a compromiser in the pulpit. You should be afraid of a man of God that stands up and preaches the gospel. But never be afraid of the compromisers. The first thing you should be doing is say, hold on, preacher, that's not right. That is not in the Bible. If it's wrong, if you're wrong, well then, adjust yourself according to the Bible. But if the preacher's wrong, it's incumbent upon the brethren to come to him and straighten him out. We are not to consume each other and steal and lie and covet and take from each other. That talks about a deep and a cutting sacrifice. If you eat the fat of anything, that's pretty much the end of it. The Word of God says you kill them that are fed. That speaks of ministers, and I have seen it in churches, unfortunately. In Monica's dad's old church, there was a minister that took over the church, and he gave a great demo version of what it was like to be a preacher. But you see, once he got in, anybody that dared to say, look, hold on a wee second, pastor, that's not in the Bible, or that's not right, or you shouldn't be picking on people like that, they were soon sidelined and chased away out of the church. Life was made very uncomfortable for them. For those people that were grounded in the scriptures and walking with God were obviously going a different direction to the pastor, but he chased them off. That's not the way it's supposed to be. If the man at the front of the church is not humble enough to be on his knees and learning of a teachable spirit, and so should everybody else be, he shouldn't be there. But this was what the leaders of the children of Israel were doing. And I even remember my old minister, Campbell Wilson, Armagh Road Presbyterian Church. I had one brother, Philip, who went and asked him one day, what do you reckon on needing to be saved? And do you know what the minister of a Presbyterian church said? Oh, you don't have to worry about that. Well, that guy, 200, 300, 400 years ago, a guy like that, that said something like that, would be given a hiding and chased out of the town. But this is the norm now. It goes on to say, you feed not the flock. Do you know what it is that Christians need? They need the gospel. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter? We were talking about Peter not that very long ago. What did Jesus say to him? He said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. How do you feed a Christian? Apart from spuds and meat and veg and milk. I was going to say a bit of apple pie and custard. Can you still do custard?
I can still do custard.
There you go. Those things are viable for most of us. We need the milk and the meat of the Word. The milk is the easily digested. We need to be reminded of the great things that God has done for us. But the meat of the Word is applying those scriptures to us, the stuff that's maybe a little bit harder to digest, that chewy bit of meat with a bit of white gristle in it that you have to spend a minute or two chewing. The gospel of, what's the hardest one? Tithing. That hurts, a lot of people will say. I felt that, said the three-legged member of the congregation. Or getting to your bed early and making sure you're ready for church. Oh, but I want to go out and party on a Saturday night. The Bible says, applying the scriptures to us. Because there are so many things that are out there in the world that are just common practice that will literally be like a man trap on you. A bear trap will catch you by the ankle and they will hold you in place until the hunter comes along. You know that old lion that walked, the old devil that walks about like a roaring lion? That's what we need. I love to hear about creation. I need to be reminded that we weren't here for billions of years. I love to hear about prophecy because I have always wanted to know what's coming round the corner so I can be prepared. Now, all of these things are in the Bible, and a lot of these things we need to hear because it shapes the way we look at people. It shapes the way we behave. And when you don't get those, believe it or not, even with the best of intentions, those things can slip away. We need to be fed. The Word of God also says the disease have you not strengthened. Sometimes we can be sick Christians. We can have false beliefs. It's not talking about people that have a bit of gout or, sepsis or stuff like that. It's talking about wrong beliefs. Wrong beliefs that can sink you. I remember a guy... used to come to the church, and he wanted to go out and he wanted to do meetings with people. And I remember him saying to Stan and me, "Mr. Laverty," just ask me about the great canopy of water around the earth. Ask me about it, because it's still out there in outer space. No, it's not. It came down to the earth during the 40 days and nights of rain. That's gone. Otherwise, you would need a submarine to get into outer space, not a spacecraft. Those are false doctrines. Doing the best that you can, just believing that doing the best that you can, that's going to hurt you. Because that puts you under stress every moment of every day, because you're always wondering, have I done enough to get to heaven? We need proper doctrines. How many churches have you heard of that won't preach proper doctrines and the people believe them and it's hurting them? It says, "Neither have you healed that which was sick." And I know sometimes people can get an affliction if you want. Normally when you're sick, you pick something up somewhere along the line. And things happen to people. Life happens to people. And just like the Lord said about the 14 that were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, it doesn't mean they were bad people, it's just things that happen. And if you suffer a loss, if you lose a loved one or have a bit of financial ruin, or your job, the people in your job's not treating you right, or whatever, there is a way around that. One of my best examples was a guy in work, Eddie, that used to annoy the life out of me, and things used to get quite heated between us. And I remember praying to the Lord about it, and I said, "Lord, why is there always aggro between me and Eddie?" And the Lord said, "He's just like you. He's as sarcastic as all get out, and he says the first thing that comes across his mind. He's just like you." And I thought, do you know what he is? And the next time he came in, he started in, and he made some comment about it, and I says, "That's a good one, Eddie." And I let it go, and that was that. And that's all that it takes. Biblical doctrine applied, but applied by somebody else, because sometimes when we're at a low ebb ourselves, we need a leg up. I know Brother Steve, just out of hospital there, he needed a leg up whenever he was in hospital. There are a lot of doctors and a lot of nurses give him a leg up.
God gave me the leg up.
Everybody pitched in and gave you a leg up, and we were praying for you. You got a leg up. I was the same 3 years previously. Sometimes we just need a leg up when we're not.
Amen. There.
Another one which has been much in my mind of late says, "Neither have you bound up that which was broken." And I know a lot of times people have these false ideas of the way the world works, and it doesn't work that way. But whenever they're let loose out into the world and they come a cropper because they believe wrong, the Bible says you can bind them up. How do you ever bind up a broken leg? You remember the old days, two sticks and a bit of wrapping to keep the break straight and to help it to heal. Bind them up with the doctrines of the Bible, the teachings that will help you over that hump and bump, and hold them in place. "Neither have you brought again that which was driven away." Just letting people go, and in all honesty, and the next one as well, "Neither have you sought that which was lost." Sometimes there's people drift away for whatever reason. people should be tended to. Yes, there's also people that leave because they're having a wee snip, and that's entirely up to them. But sometimes people get difficult times. We shouldn't forget about the people in the church. And if you don't mind me using you again, Steve and Pat, if that was our mind, and you, because of illness, you weren't able to be here for a while, and just said, well, that's up to them, and they can do whatever they like. We don't do that. We don't forget the people in the church. We visit them. We give them a leg up. We give them a bit of encouragement. When I came across this up in a church in Limavady one time, it says, but with force and cruelty have you ruled them. And you might wonder, how can there be force and cruelty in a church? You ever heard of the heavy shepherding movement? That's literally where the pastor rules the church as a king. And he has his wee lieutenants, I think you call them the deacon board. And they're all on board because there's obviously money in the church and money to be had. And the pastor will quite literally say, this is quite common in the Jehovah's Witness movement and in the Mormon movement, that if you don't agree with anything, you'll be shown the door and you'll lose your family and you'll lose your friends and you might even lose your job. So just do nothing to and do what you're told. That goes on. It's part of the credo of the Catholic Church. There's no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The Lord said, Paul, through Paul to Timothy, it says, in meekness, we are to help those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them what? To snatch themselves out of the snare of the devil or something. Maybe it pats two together there. But in meekness, as helpers, as first aiders. And as a result of all of those things, the Word of God comments on how many of his people were lost. It says to the beasts of the field. But if you want to make that more up to date, how many people have fallen into Jehovah's Witness churches? How many people have fallen into Seventh-day Adventist or Mormon churches or the Catholic churches or some of the Protestant churches that are not out preaching the gospel just because they got a sickener of some bad preacher? It happens. And it might not seem very much if there's a church of 300 people, oh, someone's just gone and done that. But that person has a soul. That person's going to live forever. And it's incumbent. If I say that one person has wandered off, what's the parable we're thinking on immediately? The 99 sheep and the one that wandered off. Parables clearly tell us that everyone's important. It's not a democracy. It should be a republic. It's not what the vast majority of people want. It's every person that's important, not the vast majority. I can see the time is marching on. Although not too much. We're still in about 10 or 15 minutes. But I'm not going to keep you that long. The Bible says, and none did seek or search after them, simply because as long as they get their two foreign holidays a year, their mortgage paid, and their car changed every 3 years, that they're not bothered. And I know of ministers that get all of that and never visit anybody in their church, and the church can't wait to get rid of them. The Lord has offered his hand for any soul that is suffering. He says, I will help you with all of these things. But that's based upon us being willing to accept his help, first of all in salvation, and then when we've got eternal life sorted out, then with this life. But the Word of God never said reform from within. Never said stay with a church that preaches a work salvation and work your way up to being a deacon. And then maybe from being a deacon, you can become the pastor. And so 20 years down the line, you'll be able to preach the gospel from the front of the church. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. It says evil communications corrupt good manners. It also says in Revelation 18 and 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, talking about the false religion that's built itself up. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not a partaker of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Talking about the Catholic Church there. And for by the wonderful preaching that you've had this morning, and the very witty comments, would you, Pat Steen, in the back there, is having a bit of tiffle. In years gone by, when Christians had a very, very difficult time, they would scatter to the four winds. When I'm talking about Caesar, I'm talking about difficult times as being tied to a post covered in tar and set on fire. That sort of difficult time. People would scatter to the four winds. And because they loved the Lord and they had his word, they were able to start house groups wherever they went. And they were able to go out fully equipped. And God will give this to anybody. He will feed. He will bind up the broken. He will heal the sick and the diseased. Those that are cast down, he'll pick up. He will do all of that for any soul that will come to him. But especially for the ministers, there is a great charge laid at their feet. There is not just an obligation, it's a necessity that they do the right thing, even to their own cost. Because that is where they have put themselves. That is what they have set themselves up to be. We are servants of God. So act like a servant of God. And do what God would have you do. Closing with this wee thought. In one of the Gospels, the Lord said, it is enough that the servant be as the master. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. Servant is not greater than the master, it is enough that he be as the master. And what did our Lord and Savior come to do? Seek and to save that which was lost. Remember as he washed the feet of the disciples as a servant in meekness. Remember as he spoke to the little children and blessed them. That's the way it was supposed to be. Even the worst of the worst. The demoniac of Gadara and just commanded the devils to be gone. He accepted them straight away. Off you go, tell everybody about the good things that God has done for you. That's the way we're supposed to be. We're not kings in this world. Even the greatest of people, if you want to put it like that, is only a great grasshopper compared to all the other grasshoppers in the sight of God. He loves each and every one of us and wants the best for us, but there's a way to do it, and the best way is God's way. But if you ever come across a preacher that's acting the maggot, apart from me when I'm sitting at your tea table taking a hand out of you, or at my own table taking a hand out of you, you're supposed to run. You're supposed to get out of his way. Because God, that minister, that pastor, that priest, he is on the rail tracks and he's going against the flow of traffic. I don't know if you've ever seen a train hit anything. There's normally not much left of the thing that it hits. And that's the way these pretenders, these false prophets, these shepherds for hire, that is the way they're going to end up unless they change their ways. But you will never change their way. You are supposed to get away from them. Just leave them where they are and find someone. What's somebody said? Some place that's working from the King James Bible, some place that encourages to read and study and pray yourself and walk and talk with God. And find that, stick with it, and do what God asks you to do, and the Bible says things will work out for the best. I'm going to stop there before I ramble on too much farther. Thank you very much for your good time. God bless you. I think we have a closing hymn and a fountain notebook. There you go. You never know what they'll get under there. I have them all out, actually. And I have my notebook out as well. We're in this one. Mrs. Bradfield, if you would like to play number 12, I know my name is there. Number 12. It's very like number 55 in the big book. John chapter 10, where it says, he has you in the palm of his hand, no man can pluck you out. I know my name is there. Let's make a joyful noise, and then we will be dismissed with a word of prayer. Aside from the world. Please bless us as we go home and eat our lunch, and let us be mindful of those who don't yet know you as Savior. Be ready to do our part. We just love you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for all your many helps and blessings. And we need you, Lord, and we need them daily. Please give us everything that we need, Lord. Amen. and of the unpacked. Amen. Amen. Folks, we are dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.
The other
God bless you, Lynn. Well, I'm not sure. That might be in the new wing. Is it?
Was the steel?